Pray with me. Father, we thank you for who you are and the fact that you have a plan for us. And Father, as we open your word today, I pray that, Father, you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear, that we would be drawn closer to you. Father, let the words that are spoken be yours, and let this time be yours. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. I can tell you, that video had to be done by somebody that was 30 or younger. And I'm going to tell you why. Any of you who are older than 30 get distracted at the very beginning when she's reaching out to touch that TV and think of what movie? See? See? If that video had been put together by somebody 30 or over, they wouldn't have put that in there, because some of us were thinking about that the whole time and missed it. Parker, come up here. I need your help. We're going to have a seat. Get comfortable. Parker's going to help me preach this morning. All right. I'm going to show you a question. Okay? Don't read it out loud, because we don't want them to know yet, because we're going to ask them in a minute. Okay. And considering that our age difference is a little bit, I mean, I'm much closer to the grave than you are, and you're much closer to the cradle than I am. We're going to see how this question affects different ends of the spectrum, because what I'm guessing is, I wrote down my answer to this question. I want you to write down your answer, and then we're going to ask them, okay? So, one thing. We need some Jeopardy music. Okay. Now. You good?
Almost.
All right. We're going to ask them. I'm betting that my answer to this is going to be the majority, because I'm much closer to them. But you read the question. Okay. Read it out loud. We're going to ask them now. And they're just going to shout out the answer.
Okay. One thing you never pray for God to give you.
There's my answer. What's yours? Money.
For selfless.
Money. Not that yours is wrong, but we're going to see through the message today why, when you get our age, this is always your answer. You know why this is our answer? Yeah. Go have a seat. I'm going to tell you. Thanks, Parker. Great job. Turn with me to the book of Habakkuk. You should know your way through the minor prophets pretty well now. This one, he wrote this about 5 years into Jeroboam's reign. And what we know about him was he was not a good king. He was not somebody who you would want to live under. And let's look at chapter 1, verse 2. And I bet you can relate to this prayer of his if you've lived any length of time. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Violence is everywhere. I cry, but you do not come to save. Must I forever see the evil deeds? Why must I watch all this misery? Wherever I look, I see destruction and violence. I am surrounded by people who love to argue and fight. The law has become paralyzed, and there is no justice in the court. The wicked far outnumber the righteous, and the justice had become perverted. Could that work today? Have you ever felt like him? The reason, Parker, that when you ask this one question of things you don't, one thing you don't ask God for, and it's patience, is because there's only one way to get patience, right? And that's wait. And we don't like to wait. We want what we want, when we want it, and we want it right now. And our society has fueled that mindset. I've talked about this before, but y'all remember when you got your news from the newspaper and the 6 o'clock news? And that was it. There was nothing else. There was no Twitter or Instagram or instant Fox News. You waited. Don't necessarily think that's a bad thing, but in terms of waiting on, we can't do that enough. Nothing harder. Nothing is harder. Listen to Isaiah 40, verse 31. This is probably a verse you know by heart. But it says, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Did you hear that? The key to renewing your strength is waiting on God. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This, if I could have a life verse per se, that's my verse. And my testimony in that God called me to the ministry twice. The first time I said no because it didn't fit in what I wanted with life. You ever been there? The second time I said yes and met with my pastor, and you know, we prayed and talked, and finally the day came for me. He wanted me to preach my first sermon. It was on a Sunday night. And I'll tell you, between the first call and the second call, there was a year and a half where I was not rebellious, but I was doing my own thing. And so here I am, surrendered to God, standing in a pulpit, preaching my first sermon. And the longer I preached, the sicker I got. And they literally took me from the pulpit to the emergency room. Okay? And I'm laying in the hospital that night because they don't know what's wrong. And I'm not praying, why me? But what I am praying is, God, I don't understand. You ever been there? I am doing exactly what you want. And here I am. What is going on? I don't understand. It's when we just want a text message or an email from God to say, I got a plan. Here's your text message or your email. Is that verse of Scripture? Wait on me. Wait on me. In her book, It's Not Your Turn. I was reading this. Heather Thompson was talking to her counselor. And out of the blue, her counselor said, you need to start waiting in the longest line you can find. And she said, what? She said, you need to wait in the longest line you can find. And she said, what are you talking about? She said, when you go to the grocery store, pick out the longest line and get in it. She said, when you go to the gas station, pick out the longest line and wait in it. And she said, I don't want to wait more. I want to wait less. And she said, the more you wait, the easier it is. And if you want to wait on God on the hard stuff, wait on God on the easy stuff. Practice patience. That's a discipline we don't want, but we absolutely need. We don't want it, but we absolutely need it, because God's time clock is so incredibly different from ours. You see, at times we will even try to rationalize with God that I could be doing all these great things for you, but I'm waiting. I could be doing this or that for you, but I'm waiting. Look with me at verse chapter 3, we'll start at verse 1. This prayer was sung by the prophet Habakkuk. I have heard all about you, Lord. I am filled with awe by your amazing work. In this time of our deep need, help us again as you did in years gone by. And in your mercy, remember, in your anger, remember your mercy. This is very different than two chapters ago when he's crying out, where's God? Now he's focused on God. If we're going to wait on God, which is what he wants us to do, we have to be focused on him and not us. Think about that and watch this.
August and Lucy are at the age where they're obsessed with swinging, but the problem is we only have one swing, and it's pink. And so whenever Augie wants to get in Lucy's swing, Lucy throws a fit and is like, no, I want to be in the swing. And so I was fogging my mind. What do? We looked at Walmart for a blue swing, didn't have one. They didn't even have a pink swing. And so I have to like sneak Lucy out of the house to let her swing and then sneak Augie out of the house. But one day Augie caught me pushing Lucy on the swing. And so he comes out and I'm like, okay, here's going to be a fight and it's going to be horrible. But he just sat in the back of my truck and waited his turn. And his turn never came. And so Lucy just did not want to get out. And I thought, I have an idea. I'll take his old car seat and hang it up on the wires in the church tent we use for our house church. And it worked. And it looked fun, like a ride at Six Flags or something. He was like spinning around, having a good time. And I thought about the verse, Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. What is that power? It's the power of the Holy Spirit. And he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, immeasurably more than what we can ask or think. Augie, in his young mind, would have never thought I was going to hook up his old car seat to the tent and spin him around, and he would have an even better swing than the one he was waiting for. But he sat and he stayed right next to his father. And I made a way. God will do the same to you as your heavenly father. Sit, talk to him, tell him what you're anxious about, tell him what you're waiting for. He will make a way out of no way. Didn't he do that on the cross? He made a way for us to be saved out of no way. Didn't he do that for the Israelites through the Red Sea? They would have never thought God was going to split the Red Sea open. And he did, to make a way for you and I. No one would have ever thought that the death of God's son would bring life to you and I. But it did. Wait on God. He will make a way. Stop looking elsewhere. He will make a way.
Look at verse 17 of chapter 3. Even though the fig trees have no blossom, and there are no grapes on the vine, even though the olive crops fail, and the fields are empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the field, and the cattle barns are empty, look at verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights. Wow. The first part of that verse, you cannot get any more desperate or hopeless. And I can almost guarantee you that at points in your life and points to come, that you will be desperate and hopeless with no way. I rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God. That's waiting on Him. Even when you can't see, that's what He wants for us. That's how we have the life that He wants us to live. Because I bet for most of you, you can remember a time when you've prayed for something and you got something else and you were so glad you didn't get what you prayed for. The something else was so much better and you never even imagined. Turn with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. Because the challenge for us in waiting is time. Time is an issue for us because what we want right now. And we think anything less than that is wasting time. But God never wastes time. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. But you must not forget this, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about His promises, as some people think. No, He is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone destroyed, but He wants everyone to repent. I can promise you almost, with some certainty, that you have never met anybody who is more ready to go to heaven than me. If the bus pulled up outside that door right now, I will knock some of you down to get on it. But what's more important is God's time. He wants all of us, inside this building and outside this building, to be with Him for eternity in heaven. And for those of us who have given our hearts to Him, what He wants for you is a life of abundance. And that's not materialism. Because as you know, that will not make you happy. He wants you to have a life of abundance in Him. And the only way to get that is to wait on Him. Habakkuk came to see that as he's living in the midst of a terrible king and a terrible time. And he said, I will rejoice. Because as you know, joy is not determined by your circumstances. During the 14th century, have you ever heard the story about Reynard the Third? This is a fascinating story to me. He was what be the king or the ruler of what is now Belgium. And during a violent coup, if you will, his brother, his youngest brother, took over. And his brother put Reynard in a room. Okay? He put him in a room. It had windows. It had a door. A regular sized door. And he said to him, "When you walk out that door, I will give you your kingdom back." Sounds easy, right? If you know anything about Reynard III, he was grossly obese and could not fit through a regular door. So the only thing that kept him from returning to the throne was his appetite. Every day his brother sent him lavish meals of the best food. And when anyone challenged his brother, he can walk in. You know what happened to him? He got fatter. He stayed in that room for 10 years, a slave to his own desires. The only thing that kept him captive was his self. And the only thing that keeps you and I captive from the life that God wants us to have are our sinful desires that are not focused on Him. Because we get so sidetracked on things that we think make us happy. Food. Things that don't meet the desires that God put in us. And when we wait on Him and we're focused on Him, we're not slaves to our desires. Turn with me to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. I'm going to start reading at verse 21. When a potter makes jars out of clay, doesn't he have the right to use the same lump of clay to make one jar for decoration and another jar to throw garbage into? In the same way, even though God has the right to show His anger and His power, He is very patient with those whom His anger falls and who are distant from destruction. Verse 23, He does this to make the riches of His glory shine bright on those whom He shows mercy, who were prepared to advance His glory. You know what God wants to do with you? He wants to show His glory through you. He wants you to be a light for Him. But to be able for us to do that, we have to let Him make us into what He wants us to be. Think about that for a minute. Parker, I need your help. Get Brian to help you. Give everybody one of those. I'll get another one. Anybody have Play-Doh as a kid? Anybody love Play-Doh? You can open it. You can play with it. If you look at the top of your container, there's an animal. If you press your Play-Doh into that, it becomes that animal. Everybody get one? Look at the bottom of your box. Anybody got the one that has a number one on it? What's wrong with your Play-Doh, Mark? It's like a rock. Huh? Give him another one. It's like a rock. What's the problem with that? You can't make it into anything, right? See, the thing about clay is you can turn it into anything you want. And the clay doesn't argue. The clay becomes whatever the master makes it. And if you've watched a true master with clay, they make some beautiful things. But if you're like Mark's Play-Doh that's dried out, you can't become anything. You are a rock. What God wants for you and I is to be clay in His hands. To be turned into whatever He wants. Sometimes that's painful. Sometimes it's not what we thought. And sometimes we don't even like the process. But if you trust the Master, I promise you He'll make you into something beautiful. And the only way to get there is to wait. Pray with me. Father, I thank You for You being the potter who turn us into something beautiful. Father, let us be soft clay in Your hands. Let us be made beautiful to bring You glory. Father, let us find the peace that Habakkuk found in rejoicing and waiting on You, even in the midst of trials and troubles and pain and heartache. Father, let us be soft clay in Your hands. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing. My prayer for you this week is that you be Play-Doh and wait on God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for loving us enough to want to be active and want to make us into something beautiful. Let us not be slaves to our sinful appetites, but let us be soft clay. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen.